Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe hanging out with you. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. Nick Frazier is here as well. So much to get into as it is cut down day. I'm disappointed in myself because I literally just remembered. I just remembered that I forgot to do something. Because I do this almost every year, but there's a hilarious Simpsons episode where Homer is coaching the Pee Wee football team. And, is Keezer on it right now? Okay. Well, I mean, it's perfect for today when Homer makes this remark. And I meant to grab it, and I totally forgot. But, Frazier, what's up? Do we have it?
Okay, it's time for the easiest part of any coach's job, the cuts.
Yes, there you go. It's a great scene where he goes, I couldn't cut all of you. I wasn't able to cut as many as I wanted to, but I did cut a lot of you. So, Homer Simpson, shout out to that. What's up, Frazier? How are you?
We're living the dream as usual. Can't complain. Another day, another dollar. Woke up, put my feet on the ground, and we're here. But unfortunately, it is cut day.
It is. And look, it's hard for, I mean, a lot of guys that have gone through this process, and, you know, Mike Vrabel has talked about it. I mean, yesterday, I would say on the Vrabel pissy scale, he was at about an 8, and he usually gets that way because, I mean, this is not an easy time of year, and I get that. Like, I totally understand that it's hard because these guys have been with them since, what, you know, March, April? I mean, and, you know, while there were some that never had a chance, there were some that created a chance and made the decision really hard. Like, I mean, that receiver battle, you know, there are going to be guys that we thought were going to make it that probably aren't, and then there are going to be guys that we didn't think were going to make it that probably are. I'll give you my 53 at 10 o'clock today. We'll do the offense in one segment, the defense in another, and, you know, give any news that comes out. And, again, I know this is going to be incomplete because that's generally what happens, because there are – certainly some issues that they still have to figure out. But yesterday, Vrabel was in a mood, as I mentioned. And I think cut day has a lot to do with that. But I also do wonder if sometimes when he gets that way, is it in fact a good thing? And it kind of started with this exchange that he had with Paul when Paul was kind of asking about last year compared to this year, and some of the issues outside of injuries being fixed.
Do you feel like now with the opener on the horizon, like the bulk of the issues you had last year outside of injuries are fixed to your satisfaction, been addressed?
The issues? I mean, we're going to have issues every year that we're going to have to deal with.
Right, but last year's, like, that you're starting at a point where you feel like,
I mean, I think everybody does. I think that's where you go in at. You know, take care of the football, turn it over more. If you could tell me that's going to happen, then I'll tell you, yeah. But and you practice and prepare for it. But you know, what matters is what you do out on the game. You know, practice is important. I understand that. We believe that. Okay, your ability to make plays on the practice field lead to what you do in the game. But also, you have to go out and do it in the game. You have to block them. You have to tackle. You have to turn the football over. You have to be able to take care of it, protect the quarterback, and make contested catches and all those things.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday. So you could kind of feel it there that he was, you know, those are questions he doesn't like, questions that he don't want to answer. You don't want to bring up last year, even though you kind of have to. I mean, they lost 7 in a row, and yeah, their injuries played a lot in that. There were certain things that, you know, they're still paying for, and, you know, that's one reason why they have a different GM. Now, I mean, they activated Dylan Radins off PUP yesterday. It would appear he's going to make the roster. You know, could he be a factor on that offensive line moving forward? We'll find out. But I wouldn't say that the issues that Paul was referencing are necessarily all fixed. I mean, the offensive line is not fixed. The offensive line is still the biggest concern and question mark going into the season, which starts 1 week from Sunday. That we can all agree on. I don't think there's anybody on the face of this earth that's going to go, you know, I feel pretty good about the Titans offensive line. I'd love to meet that person if they exist, but I don't think they do. You don't have to know jack about football, but I think you could figure that out. So my question is, with Vrabel kind of being in this mood and knowing that some of these things still exist, you know, do we feel like that this could be the ultimate Mike Vrabel special? Jared's favorite term, the Mike Vrabel special this year, that kind of when he gets this way, you know, it's like, it's a bad comparison, but I've always said when Saban kind of gets that swagger, not the temper, but the swagger, like he had swagger at SEC Media Days. And I looked at people and I go, uh-oh, like daddy's back. That's how I take that. You know, when he kind of has a little swagger and he's joking a little bit, but he's also downplaying his team and saying, like, you know, we're not finished yet. The cake's still baking. That's when everybody else should get nervous, because he sees something that he likes. When Vrabel gets kind of pissy, that's when the Mike Vrabel special kind of happens. You know, so is this a year where everybody's writing the Titans off? You got a lot of experts that don't even think they're going to make the playoffs, that they're just ready to hand the trophy to the Jags for the AFC South, and the Titans are just going to be whatever in a bad division, that this is kind of where he pulls the rabbit out of the hat. I don't know. It feels that way, though.
Yeah. The cooking of the baking of the kitchen and all that with the cake, yeah, I could get where you're trying to make that Saban comparison. But as for Mike Vrabel, it's more of, give me the just pot roast. I want the meat and potatoes. I wouldn't say it's a sweet, savory type Mike Vrabel special. It's more of a, give me the good, beefy stuff, and let's ride with it. That's the type of Mike Vrabel special we're rolling with here.
Yeah. Now, when you really want to go peak Vrabel in a bad mood, it was this series of questions on his experience with the kicker.
Back on the kicker situation, has it frustrated you that you've not been able to find anybody to stabilize that position the way that you have at the punter position?
By you mean having Brett Kern here, you know, for 12 years or 15 years or however many years he was here before me? No, not frustrated.
Is it more part of the challenge that it's not easy to find kickers who can, you know, do what you're, you know, to kick in this league? There's 32 of those jobs.
Yeah, let me know when Justin Tucker's available.
Another guy who's not being let go anytime soon.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know. We're just going to keep finding, keep evaluating guys, and, you know, again, we're going to need one, and we're obviously searching like everybody, not everybody else, but a handful of teams.
Okay, there we go. It goes again. You know, we're just going to keep evaluating guys. Now, this is where I get on my soapbox, because it's like, why wouldn't it be frustrating that you can't figure this out? Like, just, I mean, if he had come out and go, hell yeah, it's frustrating. Like, I wish he would, because it's frustrating to me as a fan and a radio host. It's frustrating to all of you. I mean, how many texts do we get every day on, or calls do we get every day on the kicker? And I mean, at this point, don't even carry a kicker. Just go for it every time. I mean, this will never happen, but I would love to see if they did that for like four games, what the percentages would be. That you go for two on every touchdown, and if it's fourth and whatever, you go for it. I mean, I'm not saying do that, but that's kind of where they're at. I mean, there's people that are saying, can Stonehouse kick and just have Stonehouse do everything and save the roster spot? No. Punting and kicking are very different things. Place kicking and punting are very different things. But, I mean, I'm frustrated because I just feel like they just can't figure it out. And that's where I'm frustrated. And so for him to be like, nah, we're just going to keep evaluating and we'll find a guy. Well, you've been trying that and it hadn't worked. And now we're sitting here basically everybody's waiting for somebody to get cut because that's who you're going to go get. You know, last night the Chargers traded Dustin Hopkins to the Browns for a seventh round pick. Now, I don't think the Titans are in a position to trade for a kicker because that's a position that they put themselves in. They don't have a lot of draft capital to do that. So I do think it's a better idea to just wait and sign somebody off the street. But, I mean, that's what's happening. And so, like, if you're the Saints and you're picking between the two guys, I mean, there's a chance you could trade. Like, I've seen out there that Will Lutz could get traded to Denver. You know, so, I mean, some of the guys that maybe you've coveted that you thought were going to just be released, now teams are figuring out how to get something for them. That's the problem that you find yourself in. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. As we are up and running here on a Tuesday, I mentioned Dylan Radins being activated off the PUP list. Can he factor into the offensive line? We'll discuss that next. Also, Zach Lyons, football and other F words, going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll kind of get his thoughts on cut down day and the final 53 for the two-tone blue as we get things up and running. Hey, a reminder that Silly Underdog Picks returns this week, Thursday at noon. Really looking forward to that. But you can sign up for Silly Underdog Picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. Make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app for week one of college football. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports here on 1025, 1063 The Game.
With the offensive line, what's left between now and the season opener that you have to accomplish? As far as like the right tackle position for you to name a guy to be the starter there?
Right now, Chris is the starter. That could change. Justin's here. Dylan's getting to practice. You know, we're going to work through. You know, Jalen hopefully will be back out there today. You know, keep practicing. Keep competing. You know, things can change. It's nothing that's set in stone throughout anywhere. You know, maybe a few positions. But, you know, I thought they responded well yesterday to some of the corrections, conversations coming out of the game, and you know, I think they know what we expect or what I expect, and the ability to protect the guy with the football, whether that's when we run it or whether we throw it.
Chase McCabe, 1025, 1063, The Game. That was Mike Vrabel on the offensive line and what's next to accomplish. So that little nugget did come out there. Chris Hubbard, for now, is the starter at right tackle. I mean, the starters we've seen to this point, so Dillard, Skronsky, Brewer, Brunskill, and Hubbard, I think that's the starting five that you'll see against the Saints. Whether it stays that way, obviously Nicholas Petit-Frere going to be suspended for 6 games, and then when he comes back, he likely gets his spot back unless Chris Hubbard just absolutely, you know, blows it away. I think you're going to just see shuffling throughout the offensive line as it goes. But I was a little surprised just to get the email yesterday that Dylan Radins was coming off the PUP list, because that once again gives them, you know, another option at offensive line. So I think, I think that could be very interesting if he can be serviceable. I mean, he's been pretty bad. Let's just be honest. He's been pretty bad. But we'll see. 615-737-1025. A few of you wanted to weigh in on kicker. Texter says, why not pick up Hot Rod Blankenship, Rodrigo Blankenship? He's a free agent who has had some rough spots, but throughout his tenure he's been more consistent than any of our more recent kickers. I don't know if that is true or not. Let me pull up the numbers. Numbers don't lie. Even though I love what what TD says about stats. They don't show everything, which is true. All right, so Randy Bullock was an 85% kicker last year. Hot Rod is 83.9%. So last year he was with two different teams, Indy and Arizona. With Indy, he was terrible. He was 66.7%, 100% extra points. And then with Arizona, in only two games, so he played three games total. He was 1-for-1 and then 66.7% with his extra points. So he wasn't very good. And then before that, he's been 86.5, 78.6, 80%. He's inconsistent. So I'm not going to say that he's more consistent than now, maybe he is than some of the guys that the Titans have had, but I would look at other options before I bring in Hot Rod.
Yeah. The name has been flustering around with the name of Will Lutz. Looking on overthecap.com, the guaranteed money is set at $500,000, which is, I think, the second lowest in guaranteed money for, I guess you could say, veteran-esque kickers that have been in the league for a good bit of time. So, I mean, the numbers look right. The veteran-esque, you know, sort of tenure in the NFL seems to be right. The percentage seems to be right. It's just a matter of time of if they go with Blake Group or not. And if they do, then...
Well, I think that's what they're going to do.
Then the Titans will luck out with potentially Will
if, Lutz. See, I don't know. I mean, if I'm the Saints, I'm making calls, and I think there's probably a team... Like, because Peyton knows Will Lutz. So right. I could see Sean Payton wanting to jump on that and try and get him. And, you know, if they offer up a seventh-round pick... You take it. That's a draft pick.
Yeah.
You never know what you might get. So I could see the Saints dealing Lutz before the deadline at 3 o'clock Central Time and getting something for him. And I just the Titans are not in a position where they need to be trading for a kicker.
Yeah.
Like I would love if they could do that and try and get a guy that they could hang on to. They still might be able to do that via free agency, but trading something right now, they just don't have the draft capital to do it.
Yeah, they don't even have the cap room for the majority of the rest of the season. They have over, I think it's $12.6 million, according to overthecap.com, in total team cap space for the season. So that's not a lot. You're really pressing on dimes and pennies at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, for a kicker, like if they can get under $2 million, I think that's...
Well, yeah, fine. But I'm just saying for the long haul of the season, if you're going to go sign possibly another offensive lineman or a potential slot receiver or some sort of secondary cornerback of some degree,
yeah,
then that's where you start pressing your money.
And that's why, like, today, when the final 53-man roster comes out just after 3 o'clock, the 4 o'clock Eastern deadline, don't write that down in pen.
Right.
Because you're going to have other players that are getting released. They'll scour the waiver wire. I mean, I would be shocked if are they going to have a kicker by 3 o'clock?
I hope so.
I don't know if they will.
Yeah, and if they don't, the biggest case scenario, if they don't, where would you set your eyes towards, Chase, if you're the GM?
Well, I mean, Lutz is probably at the top of my list, but he's likely going to Denver.
Right.
I mean, I think Denver's going to get that done. I wasn't a big fan of Hopkins. Probably one of the guys from New England.
Okay.
The odd man out in New England would probably be my play.
Okay.
Nick Folk has been a solid kicker for a long time. Now, he's been a journeyman, but he's been pretty solid. Like, there's a reason that he's lasted as long as he had. I'd probably look that route before... I mean, and then maybe Mason Crosby. I mean, Mason Crosby was still pretty solid last year. So, like I said, they do have some options. May not all be great, but I would start with some of those before Rodrigo Blankenship. Now we have one texter that gives a strong opinion. Why are we always splitting hairs over a coach response? Of course he's frustrated. His job is on the line. Furthermore, I would love a suggestion from you all on what he should do that he hasn't done already. Talk about X's and O's. This sounds like the male version of The View. A named texter. I have said this many times. I like Mike Vrabel. I think Mike Vrabel is a good head coach. I get frustrated with him when he gets pissy. There's a difference between frustrated and pissy. And sometimes he just, you know, you can just tell he just doesn't want to address something. And he does, and it's, I don't know if it's because he doesn't want to admit he was wrong, that he hasn't put emphasis on it. Because, quite frankly, I don't feel like the Titans have addressed the kicker position like they should have since Ryan Succop left. And Ryan Succop, Mike Vrabel had nothing to do with Ryan Succop being here because he was already here. Just like he had nothing to do with Brett Kern because Brett Kern was already here. Special teams, you know, was really good for a while with this franchise. I mean, under Jeff Fisher, it was the best. You know, Floyd addressed it. Floyd was a special teams coach. It was an emphasis for him. Special teams was rock solid for a long time. And so I just feel like that there hasn't been an emphasis on the position of place kicker, and there should be, because in today's NFL, things are so close and there's so much parity that games do come down to a big kick, and you got to make those big kicks. And they haven't had a guy that you can sit there. I mean, look, Justin Tucker doesn't grow on trees. I got it. There's only one Justin Tucker. But there are other kickers in this league that you sit there and go, okay, I feel pretty good about this. And if he misses, like, well, he didn't miss a whole lot. But they haven't been able to find that, because I just don't know how hard they try. That's my opinion. Chris in Nashville. I heard Ray Finkel, the old Dolphins kicker, is available. The Titans should bring him in for practice. Laces out. Ace Ventura reference. Yeah, we've seen that a lot. I mean, that's where desperation is. JD points out the Broncos trying to get Lutz. Yep. Ben from Nashville. Morning, everyone. Well, good morning, Ben. Kicker is a frustrating position because you can't bring a guy in and expect a change of scenery lead to a better performance on the field. But why, oh, why are the Titans incapable of getting a kicker for the past 5 years? We've cut people who have gone on to have good careers. I'm beginning to side with Jared on firing Aukerman. It's a fair question. I mean, Santos, where's he now?
Believe Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Greg Joseph. I mean, they've had guys that have come through here that didn't last very long, and then they go elsewhere and they're solid. So you do ask that question, well, what's going on? Now, you know, like Badgley sucked. Badgley sucked before they brought him in here. He was always inconsistent. That's why I wouldn't consider Rodrigo Blankenship. As much as I loved Hot Rod and, you know, wearing 99 at Georgia and the glasses and everything, I know our GM Sean's probably listening right now going, like, bring in the Georgia kicker. I would not. He's been very inconsistent in the NFL. So we'll ask Zach Lyons, football and other F words pods. That will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on everything with the Titans and the 53-man roster. We will do that coming up next. Vanderbilt football this Saturday here on 102.5 and 106.3. The game, the Commodores will kick off game number 2 at 6 o'clock at home against Alabama A&M, with pregame beginning at 4:30. You can hear it all on 102.5 The Game, the app, and thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Talking Titans, 53-man roster. Must be official by 3 o'clock today, Central Time. We now say hello to Zach Lyons, football and other F-words pod. You can check it out. He does great work. Zach, what's up, man?
Oh, not much. Just finishing up an article for StackingInbox.com while also feverishly refreshing my Twitter feed and trying to also figure out why Jennifer Love Hewitt is trending. I mean, she always should be trending, but at least she's alive.
Yeah, I mean, she's been trending in my mind for a long time. So,
yeah.
you know, we go way back. With the 53-man roster, I mean, I think it's very safe to say with this Titans team that the one we see at, you know, just after 3 o'clock Central Time today is going to look very different than the one that we're going to see when they open the season against the Saints. Do you feel like that Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon are going to spend a majority of their time obviously looking for a kicker, but also scouring for potential offensive linemen to add to that group?
You know, I kind of don't. I don't think that offensive linemen seems to be the priority. They, from all the words that they have said, they seem to be
Zach, we're going to put you on hold for a second because something's up with the connection there. Just lost that. So we'll see if we can get him reestablished. I don't know what happened there. He got zapped. Something like that.
Got zapped.
But yeah, just pick it up and back there, Nick, and see what we can do. Maybe it fixed it. We good now? All right, let's try this again. You were making a great point, and then technology got you.
Yeah, it got me for some reason. I don't know where I left off, but I think for all intents and purposes, it sounds like to me that they're happy with the group they got. They may go back to the well to try and get someone like David Questenberry, who's just recently released, but that doesn't really move the needle too far above Chris Hubbard. But I do think he is better than Chris Hubbard, but I also think that Justin Murray's better. And they just got back Dylan Radins. I mean, he may be a few weeks away from actually finding his way onto the field and team practices, but they still have 2 weeks to go before the regular season. I don't think offensive lineman's a priority. I do think linebacker is a priority. Obviously, kicker is as well.
Yeah, where do you think they go with kicker? I mean, we've seen Dustin Hopkins just got traded to Cleveland for a seventh rounder. I don't think the Titans need to be in the business of trading for a kicker because I don't think they have the draft capital to really do it. They need to keep some draft picks. So do you feel like if the Will Lutz to Denver thing doesn't happen, or is it maybe one of the guys that loses out in New England? Where do you think they go?
Well, I will say this. Diana Russini is saying that the kicker market is busy. She reported on X that teams are currently making calls around the league looking for opportunities to trade for kickers, Rams, Lions, Titans, 49ers, and Broncos. Dustin Hopkins was traded for a 2025 seventh-round pick. The Titans have plenty of seventh-round picks 25. The problem is in 2024, so it just depends on how desperate they get. I would assume that they're calling on maybe Nick Folk or Will Lutz, who are likely to get cut or likely to get traded elsewhere. So I would assume that's where they're going. At the end of the day, if they have to settle for a Mason Crosby or Robbie Gould or someone like that, maybe even call back Randy Bullock, it's better than what they were trying all offseason long. I mean, pretty much anybody that went to practice or followed the Tennessee Titans knew that, like, after week one, neither of these kickers, Trey Wolf or Caleb Shudak, were likely to make the team. And I don't understand the Titans' approach to kicker. I never will. I don't know why a team that plays with such a thin margin of error that needs points wherever it can get it refuses to take this position seriously. But yesterday, Mike Vrabel answered Teresa's comment with, like, well, I don't think Justin Tucker's going to get, you know, get cut. And I'm thinking, well, so is it Hall of Fame and UDFA scrub and nothing in between? Like, we can't get something in between there that is at least better than maybe the 20th best kicker in the league? Like, I don't understand what's going on over there.
Yeah, I don't either. And anytime it's brought up, you know, Vrabel kind of goes into, you know, pissy mode, as I like to put it. And it's just like this has been an ongoing thing with him. But we will see who the kicker is on the roster at 3 o'clock Central time. When it comes to wide receiver, this was an intriguing battle in camp. And I think there were some guys that emerged that I didn't expect to. And then there were some guys that disappointed that I didn't really expect to. For me, I have six on the roster. Obviously, the obvious ones of Hopkins and Burks, Phillips, once he's healthy again, Chris Moore, NWI, and then I have Kyrus Jackson making this roster over, you know, Racy McMath, or Reggie Roberson, Mason Kinsey. I know Kinsey could be available as a call-up if he makes it to the practice squad with Phillips being out, but how do you view that position?
Yeah, it's weird. That wide receiver six spot, when I was doing my only and final 53-man roster, because, you know, everybody does one like every few days, and I'm just thinking that seems like a waste of time. Wait till all the preseason's over. And I almost went with just five wide receivers because I thought that maybe they would just go scouting on the waiver wire or scouting free agency for a wide receiver. I wasn't really feeling any of these guys. And then Kyaris Jackson got extended time as a returner. He's on there. He's my sixth wide receiver. Mine lines up perfectly with you. I'm not confident. And one thing that has given me pause is something that Braden Gall, which you're familiar with, and we do a football show every Monday and Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, that Reggie Roberson has a connection with Will Levis that has shown up in camp, but Reggie Roberson has not shown up in the preseason. But guess who has also not shown up in the preseason? Will Levis. So I almost think that Reggie Roberson is a sneaky pick to make it in as wide receiver six, but I think I'm just going to stick with Kyaris Jackson for now. Colton Dow looked really good. Treshawn Harrison looked good. And Mason Kinsey, he's a preseason darling. He always looks good in preseason. But they would rather sign someone like C.J. Board or Josh Gordon or Cody Hollister than call up Mason Kinsey. They just like Mason Kinsey on the practice squad, I think. He does everything that they need him to do on the practice squad, and I guess those players are hard to find for them.
Do you think Colton Dowell was good enough to the point where he was good enough to you know, warrant being around in practice squad, but bad enough not to make the Titans' initial 53, but also good enough that they'd be worried about losing him to another team?
No, I don't think he – here's the thing about the waiver wire process, and this is kind of an overarching thought. There's only roughly like 30 players every year that are put on, that are claimed off of waivers at this time. Most of the time, I mean, that means that like a large majority, we're talking like out of 800 to 900 players, only 30 are claimed. That leaves a large majority of players going through waivers unclaimed. And I think Colton Dow, really the only guy that may not clear waivers that the Titans could possibly cut, and I think they are, is Monty Rice. Now, everybody else, I think, is going to go through waivers without being claimed. And I know that's an unpopular opinion if you're a Caleb Murphy all-pro truther. And I love Caleb Murphy, and I hope that he makes the team. But I just don't think that anybody else cut is going to get claimed, because if you get claimed during this process, you have to go on the 53. You're not able to be claimed and go on the practice squad. That's why a lot of these players clear, and then you see a lot of these players show up on the team that they were recently cut from on their practice squad. And that's where I think Colton Dow lands. If he is cut, he will be on the Titans practice squad fairly quickly.
Yeah, and you mentioned Monty Rice, and you mentioned, you know, the linebacker position there. That one is, with a defense that I think is going to be pretty good, that's where I'm the most nervous because of the depth. Especially in the middle there. And, you know, are they just going to have enough to really be able to hold it down at that spot?
I don't think that the linebacker position is fully fleshed out in its current form. I think they'll keep five. I think they'll keep Azeez Al-Shaair, and I like to call them the flip cup boys. You know, Chad, Luke, Ben, and Chance. I think they'll keep all those guys, but I think Monty Rice is gone. He put out a weird statement yesterday that he hasn't been missing practice because of injury. It's been because of life stuff. And, you know, I don't know what's going on in his life, and I'm not here to downplay it, but I just don't think that he was long for this team to begin with. I know a lot of people had him in pretty heavily as a starter before offseason or before the training camp stuff, but I never really believed that he was going to live up to his third-round draft pick when he was initially drafted, and I've held pretty steadfast in that. Not to say he hasn't filled in well. I just don't think he's a starter for the Tennessee Titans, and I don't think they think that either. I look at a guy that got recently released as Christian Kirksey from the Texans. He was on the team with Tim Kelly in 2021. Tennessee Titans have seen him a lot. He's a veteran. And he's a tackling machine, and at the position opposite Azeez Al-Shaair, that's what you want. He can be signed later today because he has four or more accrued seasons, so he's a vested veteran, so he does not go to waivers. So he can actually be signed later today at 3:01 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Real quick, on the defensive line, I've seen some people have Naquan Jones in. I've had some people have Naquan Jones out. Where are you on that?
Out. I don't think he's done enough in the times that he has seen preseason or in-game real-life action to necessitate keeping around, especially if he's an injury. I wouldn't be surprised if they move him to like a reserve pup list or something. But I don't think he's playing. I think that it's Michael Dwumfor, Kyle Pecco, and Jaden Peavy. And I think that you could even see all three make it. You have to remember last year, depending on how you look at Denico Autry, they kept 7 defensive linemen last year. That does not include the outside linebackers. I don't see any reason why they couldn't keep that many again. It will be interesting to see, but to me, Michael Dwumfor has done enough, and Jaden Peavy seems to be has caught the eye of the staff. While he may have had a quiet preseason, he has not had a quiet training camp. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'd also rather have both those guys over Naquan Jones, who seems like just another guy that could just be rotated in, and then you won't even notice that he's there or not there.
You do have Jeffrey Simmons making it, though. You think he'll be good, Zach?
It was tough. I know he's on the bubble, and he missed every preseason game. Which if you don't play in preseason,
slacker,
it's a big deal. You got to remember everybody wanted Ryan Tannehill to play, and that was a huge that he got those handoffs in on Friday's game. But like, you know, he may be a little rusty. You never know with Jeffrey Simmons. He's a very an up and down player. You know, just a roster bubble kind of guy.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I think it'll be, all kidding aside, I think it'll be a breakout year, another breakout year for Jeff, for sure. Zach, appreciate it as always. Good to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Chase.
Absolutely. Zach Lyons, Football and Other F Words pods, also does work with 440 Sports, so you can check him out there, all over the place on X. I'm trying to train myself not to say Twitter. Coming up next, I want to touch on this because there was a bizarre moment in the Braves game last night. Just like, if you didn't see this or hear about it, we'll discuss that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Having a good time here today. Nashville Sounds Baseball back at it. Today, 5:20 pregame, 5:35 first pitch on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds will take on the Durham Bulls, AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure, broadcasting from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. So, hanging out last night, watching the Braves, as I typically do, and a little later start, but saw this craziness happen in the seventh inning of the game against the Rockies at Coors Field. Coors Field, beautiful ballpark if you've never been. But this was in the seventh inning when Ronald Acuna Jr., who is a MVP candidate, you know, for the Braves in the National League, was confronted on the field in right field by 2 fans. And Acuna ended up being knocked over. Like, one of them tried to hug him, basically. And it was just a weird thing. I mean, we've seen fans run on the field before, but usually it's like just trying to run on it and streak or whatever. But it was like they were trying to get a picture, you know, with Ronald Acuna Jr. while on the field. Security was trying to pry the guy off of Acuna. Then that's kind of when he got knocked down. And that's when the second guy rushed over. But here was Acuna with a translator. He doesn't speak English. Last night, kind of giving his thoughts on the situation.
The one guy seemed subdued. Was the other guy just kind of acting crazy? The first guy seemed like he just wanted a picture. Was the other guy kind of acting crazy?
Sí, el segundo, eran tres. Uno chiquitico yo creo que lo vi, pero el segundo también me estaba preguntando por si no podía tomar una foto. Y yo le dije que, o sea, no le dije nada porque el seguridad llegó. Pero yo espero que se encuentren bien ahorita en este momento.
I think there were 3 of them that saw someone else somewhere. But anyways, the second guy, he was asking for a picture too. And I couldn't say anything to him because at that point, you know, security was already there and we were already kind of tangled up.
And it's weird. He goes on to say security was able to get there and everything's okay. We're all okay and I hope they're okay. And then Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, said, quote, "You don't want to see that happen. I know that. You don't know what they will do when they get out there. It's a scary situation." I mean, come on. Like, I mean, it still happens, unfortunately. I feel like, you know, you'll see it. Kevin Harlan's been known to, you know, if he's calling a nationally televised game for football or football and he's on radio, a lot of times, like, he'll do the call, which is hilarious if you've never heard that. But it's just like, I get it from the player's perspective of how scary that is, like, right, you know, in today's time. Like, you never know. Like, you think that they're probably just drunk and, you know, trying to see what they can get away with. I mean, once they hit the field, they're going to jail. Like, they're going to get caught. They're not going to make it across and get out of there without some kind of punishment. So I really don't know what they're doing. But, you know, going up to Acuna in the middle of a game and trying to get a picture and all of that. Like, I mean, I get it from his perspective of he's probably thinking, what the hell is going on? And that's exactly what it was. I mean, here he is trying to do his job, you know, with the Braves and, you know, kind of has that distraction that comes his way because a couple of fans, one or two or three or whatever it was, you know, they want to be goofy and do something stupid. But the Braves, nonetheless, won 14-4. So the bats were going. But I don't know, man. It's weird to see that. Obviously, Acuna had himself a night, 4 of 5, 4 hits, and 5 RBI on the night with a couple of dingers, one dinger as well. But a good night for him, nonetheless. Is, you know, what was funny is for so long he was like a heavy, heavy favorite to win the MVP, and now those odds have kind of slipped.
Yeah,
where Mookie is the favorite now.
I was about to say there's some weird way that Mookie Betts has lured his way back into some sort of MVP race.
Well, look, I mean, Mookie's had a hell of a year. I mean, Freddie Freeman was probably in there in that conversation too. But
I think
Mookie Betts deserves to kind of be in the thought.
I think he's exceeded his home run tally for his career, I do believe. I'll have to double check on that. Don't quote me on it. But I've been hearing a lot of murmuring about that on MLB Network, saying Mookie's hitting, you know, an insane amount of home runs this year in comparison to recent years that he's, you know, had those MVP caliber years when he was at Boston.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at – this is from covers.com, and they have a couple of different sports books. So as of right now, DraftKings has Acuna as the favorite, minus 135. Mookie's at even money, and then Freddie's the next one at plus 1,000. FanDuel has Acuna at minus 160 as the favorite, Mookie at plus 110. And then Bet365 has Mookie as the favorite at minus 130. And Acuna at plus 110. So, according to these books, it's basically between Mookie Betts and Ronald Acuna Jr. in the National League. And then Freddie Freeman's a distant third. Matt Olson's a distant fourth. And then that's really it. So, I guess it'll be one of those two.
Yeah.
And listen, as much as I love Mookie Betts, Nashville zone, we do a lot of great things with him. I hope his mom's not listening. I need Acuna. I mean, that's my guy. That's my team. Like, you know, I wish Mookie was in a better looking uniform than the one he's in. You know, and so I liked it better when it was with the Red Sox, and I didn't have to worry about him in the National League, and the Dodgers.
Likewise with the Cardinals.
Yeah, Dodgers. Hate the Dodgers. Coming up next, I will get into my version of the 53-man roster. It's going to look similar to a lot of others, but we will discuss that coming up next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.